Another gospel lesson from the book of John, another very long reading. This from the 11th chapter, the story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus.
Lord, he whom you love is ill.
But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him,
Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going to go there again?
Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him,
Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right.
Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples,
let us go also, that we may die with him.
When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus,
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him.
Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him,
I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.
Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And anyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him,
yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world.
When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately,
the teacher is here and is calling for you.
And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him,
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him,
Lord, come and see.
Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said,
see how he loved him.
But some of them said,
could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have also kept this man from dying?
Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him,
Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days.
Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, My God, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped with cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Thank you. Amen. In your opinion, is the story of Jesus raising his friend Lazarus from the dead based in historical reality? Would you say this a true story? Is there a difference between fact and truth? For those past few hundreds of years that we have been living in the West, we have been conditioned to think that these two are equated. For something to be true, it must also be a fact. The paradox of progressive Christianity is being able to discern truth that is being revealed in and through a story without getting bogged down in arguments over whether the story literally happened that way or not. While historical elements may be present, progressives believe that biblical authors, and especially the gospel writers, used language that was primarily metaphorical and symbolic, not literal. A progressive approach to biblical interpretation, in fact, declares literalness isn't really the important issue anyway, but rather, what is the meaning to which this biblical author hoped to point? Now, this is a premise of how Jesus Seminar scholar Marcus Bohr deals with the issue of biblical interpretation in his 2002 book entitled Reading the Bible Again for the First Time, Taking the Bible Seriously, but Not Literally. And by the way, if you lay somewhere in between the literal and the metaphorical, or just don't know, that's valid as well. In other words, don't let the improbable and implausible literalness of this or any other biblical story lead you to disregard it altogether. For like the entirety of the Gospel of John itself, this particular story has a deep richness to offer in understanding God and understanding ourselves and in understanding the role of the community of faith. Now, admittedly, this very long story from John 11 about the raising of Lazarus has numerous and very important theological, pastoral, and practical issues that deserve a great deal of study and reflection. And you're probably most familiar with verses 25 and 26, most commonly recited at memorial services, where Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And anyone who lives and believes in me will never die. This is a very powerful statement, meant as a word of hope, and especially to those who grieve. It's about declaring that there is life after this life. And there are indeed parallels between this story and Jesus' own death and resurrection. So this story serves somewhat as a prelude or preface and an anticipation of the Easter story. But as I will explain in a moment, the Lazarus story isn't really about resurrection. It's about the physical resuscitation of a corpse, which is very different. The story also speaks compassionately about Jesus' sorrow over the death of his friend. It contains the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. It serves, therefore, as a testament to God's compassion and sorrow. And I've often mentioned to someone who has lost a loved one, especially under tragic circumstances, that it was and is God who sheds the first tear. Today, however, I'd like primarily to address just one small element of this story, a detail that is most often overlooked completely in the process of getting caught up in all the miraculous goings on. And in a dramatic fashion, this story ends with the words, "Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out!' The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" It's not hard to picture this scene, is it? As if it were in a movie or a painting. And here's the part we often miss. It is Jesus, of course, hence God, who performs the miracle, bringing Lazarus back to life after resuscitating his dead and decaying corpse. But who is it that actually unbinds and releases Lazarus from that which has him bound tight? Let me repeat the verse. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." It is the action of Lazarus's family and friends and the gathered community that frees him from being bound. Persons who are bound tight cannot free themselves on their own. They need help. Jesus did his part, then commands the gathered community to do its part. And our part, then, as a community of faith, is to help remove that which binds others, helping to release them from that which entombs them. Jesus gives us, then, a crucial and active role in helping bring about liberation, wholeness, freedom, and new life to others, and especially, as a community of faith, to each other. If you are a member of College Hill, you are automatically a de facto member of the Congregational Care Ministry team. So what does it mean to be bound? Well, metaphorically, it can mean by things such as a particular sin, or alienation, or prejudice, or oppression, or addiction, or poverty, or loneliness, or low self-esteem. That list can go on and on. What binds the ones you love? In all reality, a day doesn't go by when we don't encounter someone who is bound. The question is, what are you doing to help? As an individual and us together as a congregation. As a congregation, for example, whenever we reach out with an open and welcoming hand to others, providing a safe space of sanctuary and hope, we are involved in the process of unbinding. And each and every time we work to improve the life and well-being of others, like through striving for equality and respect, we are working to unbind those who are bound by injustice. And in connection with our Lenten theme, I believe that it is in and through these acts of compassion that helps us to fill our cups. But now, the story of Lazarus is also a very powerful one concerning our own liberation. It's a coming out story, so to speak, from that which entombs you and entombs us. But coming out from whatever it is that keeps us from being who God has created us to be is not easy. There are any number of psychological issues, socialization issues, mental health issues, political issues, religious and spiritual issues, whatever, that can make us feel like we are the ones, referencing the Old Testament lesson reading from Ezekiel 37, that we are the ones living in the valley of dry bones, in need of God breathing new life into us. So if you are the one who is bound, and I encourage you seriously to reflect on that, this story of coming out and finding liberation should bring you and each of us much hope. For the story of Lazarus must become a parable for us, in the sense that it must become our story. And to quote biblical commentator Veronese Miles, we must continue to pray and work for the power of resurrection in the lives of persons and communities bound by the grave cloths of war, of genocide, of poverty, of hunger, disease, systematic abuse, and systematic oppression. And there are people today, perhaps yourself, who, she continues, require caring communities that are willing to nurture and strengthen them until they are able to walk alone, to remove the grave cloths of self-doubt, of social isolation, of marginalization, of loneliness and oppression, to tear away the wrappings of fear, anxiety, loss, and grief, so that unbound women, men, and children might walk in dignity and become creative agents in the world. We are called to live life fully and to help others to experience life to the fullest as well. So if I were to paint a picture of this story, invite you to paint your own. Each one of your faces would appear in the crowd, standing ready as a community of faith to respond when Jesus commands us to either come out of the tomb or unbind each other and let them go. So be willing to engage in this ministry to unbind the bound, and also be willing to be unbound yourself with the help of others. Amen.